up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Mm-hmm. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars.
No!
Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars and Clone Wars. I don't know why I'm doing it differently. In this episode, troubled by Asajj Ventress's growing prowess. Asajj is getting stronger, and Dooku and Sidious are like, kill her. So they try to kill her, and then they don't. And she goes to the Night Sisters, because apparently I don't know how to read tonight. There will be a lot of the color of red. Ventress's backstory, and Dooku actually not being a stooge for once. We're talking about Night Sisters this week. Chris, that one completely got away from me.
I guess so.
Man!
Did you at least do the wave this week when you said hello, everybody?
I did.
Okay.
I always do the wave. I always wave at everybody whenever I say, hi, everyone, welcome to a brand new episode. Apparently I can't say the words prowess and Ventress's
Right, they're kind of awkward together in a sentence.
Actually, you know the one word I just cannot say, no matter how hard I try?
Are you going to try and say it now?
Yes. Rural.
Rural.
Yeah, I have so much difficulty saying the word rural. Rural. Like you know, farm agriculture, but rural.
It's that second R.
Yeah, the rural.
I notice a lot of people just go rural.
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 Rural. But
like girl
if
with
I try
an
to
R.
say the word rural, like, cleanly, I have to stop and pause and prepare and breathe in and gasp and do some tongue exercises and then say it. I can't say that word. Well, I know you've had a busy week, but are you doing okay?
Yeah, it's going to be a running gag here for the next few months, so everybody get used to it. But, yeah. I always have fun.
If you want to, I can try and find jokes about guys who got hit by cars and Chris's that have to pull double shifts.
Trucks. And somebody quit since the last episode, so...
Okay. Well, I'll try to make you feel better. What do you call a Chris that works double shifts?
What?
Tired.
Oh.
Or Matt, because you just kind of lay on the floor.
Oh.
Just like a... Okay. Well, I had a good week.
You're killing me.
Yeah. Killing you like Dooku you're trying to kill Ventress.
Yeah.
No. I had an okay week, so. It wasn't the greatest, it wasn't worse, it was a week, so. Just a week. I'm so excited for 2-1 BCon! Ah!
Yeah, that's coming right up, huh?
Yeah, it is like 10 days away, so. Ooh. I'm really, really, really super excited, and my best friend's coming in from North Carolina, and we were talking on the phone about today, and we were making our final plans, and all three of my best friends are all going to be in one location together, and they're never in one location together. So I'm so excited. I'm going to be drinking a lot.
There will be drinking.
There will be drinking. Hope making bad decisions. And
drinking.
Maybe possibly jumping on an inflatable elephant again this year. Welcome to T21 BCon.
I've seen that video.
You have me like tackling like an inflatable elephant? Yeah. That was fun. At least I have a hotel room this year and I don't have to sleep on someone's floor again, because I realized last year I'm too old to sleep on people's floors.
I still sleep on floors. I can still do it. As long as it's carpeted. I can't sleep on, like, a hardwood floor. That'll kill me. But, like, a carpeted hotel floor, no problem.
Oh, this is one of the ones where it's, like, you know, like a school floor where it's, like, concrete with a thin layer of, like, carpet on top.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, I can't do that because, well, I have bad hips and bad knees. So if I get my knees comfortable, my hips are just like, why am I pressed into this concrete? So, old sports injuries. That's why I'm pudgy, because I don't play sports anymore. Yay, sports ball. All right, so you ready to talk about Night Sisters this week? I'm very excited about this.
Oh, yeah, I love this one.
All right, well, I'm going to take a quick little sip of my coffee. Also, people, in my extra information notes this week, I do have a couple, like, little bit of I can't talk tonight! I have some spoiler stuff in it, like, if you haven't read Son of Dathomir or anything else. So if you don't want to get spoiled for Son of Dathomir, I will say in the notes when I'm about to read it to give you a chance if you want to skip ahead, in case you want to do that. So, anyway, okay, here we go. Night Sisters is the 56th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 7th, 2011! So Happy New Year, everybody! Happy New Year, 2011. It was written by Katie Lucas and directed by Juan Carlo Volpe. Some extra information for you. Mother Talzin is voiced by Barbara Goodson. When Goodson auditioned for the part, she was told that the creators, that the creative staff of The Clone Wars wanted a Romanian witch type of voice. Because of that, Goodson ensuing vocal performances was inspired by the late Russian actress, Lord, that's a long name, Maria Ouspenskaya, who was notably took part in various classic era horror movies. Talzin's look was based on the Night Sisters' Sith Witch, an unused piece of concept art from Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, which would then become Darth Maul. To give you some background leading up to this episode, this next tidbit is pre-Episode I timeline, so this is a spoiler for future episodes of Clone Wars and the Son of Dathomir. So if you don't want to get spoiled for future Clone Wars or Son of Dathomir, skip ahead. Ready? About to read it. This is your last chance. Okay, here we go. Mother Talzin had two sons, Savage Opress and Maul. Because the Night Sisters and Night Brothers use magics, with a K at the end of it, when wielding the dark side of the Force, this attracted the attention of Darth Sidious. He went to Dathomir to train in these dark arts and originally wanted Mother Talzin to be her apprentice. When he met Maul, though, Sidious kidnapped the boy to train him into the well-known Darth Maul. Talzin was furious and sought vengeance on Sidious. This was all before she became the clan mother of the Night Sisters. To give a bit more background information on Kai Narek, who is seen in Ventress's flashback, he was a member of the Jedi Order. When he saw Ventress using the Force, he took her under his wing. As Master and Padawan, he trained her in the Force for 10 years, and he remained on the planet Ratatak, helping people and was being considered heroes. They remained there for 10 years together until Kai Narek was killed. This was the beginning of Ventress's descent into the dark side of the Force, so Ventress and Kai Narek were together for 10 years. Ventress's mother also is featured in the flashback. To help protect the Night Sisters' clan, Ventress' mother was forced to give up her daughter to a slaver named Hal Stead, which I put that in there because we didn't know the slaver's name. Anyway, in the episode featurette, Dave Filoni said, "This was an interesting idea for George. He always liked the character Ventress. He liked how she had been used in the Clone Wars, but we never used her a lot. We always talked about doing episodes that got behind the villains and saw things from their perspective. We always talk about the rule of two, and how there are only two Sith Lords. But then there's always Ventress around, and what does that mean? She's kind of like a third wheel. George wanted to develop this idea of who she really is and expand her story. So we really see things from the villainous side, from the dark side. This brings in the Night Sisters. Now, the Night Sisters themselves is not a new concept. They've been around since the Star Wars. They've been around in Star Wars lore in different novels and comic books. Like everything, when we sit down to do this with George, this is how it goes for him in his universe. What we have is a clan of witches that live on the planet Dathomir. George wanted Ventress to be from these witches. She got lost at one point, and they had to strike a deal giving her away. I have to give a lot of credit to Katie Lucas. She took on the task of to write this trilogy of episodes. I said, Katie, this is going to be near and dear to a lot, near and dear thing to a lot of fans. There have been histories about Ventress. You should give it a once over. You should give it a once over and see what you can incorporate. I think Katie did a wonderful job bringing a lot of her history with Kind Eric and getting attacked and how that all went down to the story of Ventress. Wow, I can't read today.
You gotta be okay?
I don't know, man. Apparently I just don't know how to read at all. But I also didn't really, like, warm up my diction or anything like I usually do beforehand. So, it's alright, I'll be fine. It was not the first time. I just kind of went into a podcast and was like, alright, let's fucking wing it. So, I'll be
That's
fine.
That's what you get.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is I usually write this, like, the night before and then the day of that we're recording, and I wrote this, like, 5 days ago, so I kind of forgot about what I wrote.
It's not fresh on your head.
Yeah, because I always do the background information the night before, and then the day of our podcast, I do the actual, like, Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3 during that time. So usually it's, like, less than 24 hours on my head, but this, I haven't seen it in, like, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, I think I watched this episode like 2 weeks ago.
I know.
Did the notes for it.
Yeah. Well, you know who also takes notes about sisters in the night?
Oh, whoa. I wondered how you're going to pull that one off.
I think I did okay with it.
You did. I was quite surprised that it actually got a little dirty.
Give me more credit, Chris.
Yeah.
You gotta give me more credit than that. You know who also should be given credit for things, Chris?
Okay.
Here it comes.
The swiftest path to destruction is through vengeance. In bed.
See, that just reminds me of those crazy-ass stories of, like, jealous people, like, stabbing their wives, like, finding them cheating or something.
It reminds me of, this is sort of bleeding into Eat It and Beat It. This just reminded me of, like, when we were little kids and we had a whole bunch of porno magazines hidden out in the field across from our house under a rock. There was a story in it about a lady spy who got revenge by putting, she put poison on her nipples. And then the guy had sex with her and then croaked out as she stood over him laughing.
Talking about porn in the woods.
So I guess that is it wasn't the swiftest path of destruction for her because she won with her vengeance in bed. So
yeah,
I don't know if this platitude works out too well.
I got a story about porn in the woods.
Yeah?
When I was... God, I was how to be little, like maybe 7 or 8. I was walking with my older cousin through the woods. Gosh, where were we? We were in the woods behind our church. I remember this because there was like they had this like behind in the woods like kind of worship place. But me and my cousin decided to like kind of walk on the like get off the path and like walk through the woods with some. And he was older. He was like maybe like 16, 17. And he was like looking out for me. You know, we weren't going to venture too far. And like these woods, the way they were, like we could always see the road. So we could always like if we got lost, we could always just walk over to the road and then walk back to the church. So like we would never get lost. But we're going through the woods. And we noticed something, and there's, like, an army box, like, one of those, like, metal army boxes.
Uh-huh, someone's like, stash.
And we were like, that's so cool! And we opened it, and I pulled them out, and I was just like, what are these things of these naked ladies? My cousin was like, oh my god! And then he started putting them back, and he stopped, and he was like, I will dispose of these, and he put them in his book bag.
I'd better get rid of these.
And I was just like,
forever
okay.
and ever.
I was like 8, I didn't understand what it was. But I think that, I'm pretty sure that was the first time I ever saw porn.
It wasn't the last time your cousin ever saw that porn, that's for sure.
And it certainly wasn't the last time I did either, so. had a little bit of that about 2 nights ago.
Save it for Eat It and Beat It.
Act 1. We should just move on. Alright, so you ready for Act 1?
Oh, I'm ready.
All
you
right,
know
cool.
I'm ready.
Act 1. In the solar system, a big-ass battle is going down. Ventress is kicking ass and taking names on the bad guy's side of the fight. She easily takes out one of the Republic cruisers without breaking a sweat, because she's a badass bitch. On Raxus, Count Dooku is enjoying the springtime weather, having a nice cup of tea and catching up on his weekly issues of Entertainment Weekly, until Palpatine calls him up on his cell phone. And Palpatine is like, "So, you know the whole rule of two of the Sith? Well, there's three of us now with Ventress, so you gotta kill her, bro." And Dooku is like, "Bro, no, she's like the best person I got on my army." And Palpatine is like, "Bros before hoes." So Dooku's gotta kill Ventress. Back in the battle, Ventress takes a pot shot at Obi-Wan's ship and chases after him. Anakin swoops in and shoots at Ventress's ship. Both her and Obi-Wan crash into the Separatist flagship. Ventress calls up Dooku and she's like, "Yo, bro, I need your help right now." And Dooku is like, "Sorry, we're not bros anymore. You're dead to me. Peace out." Totally pissed off now, Ventress launches into a fight with the two Jedi. Dooku commands a lady tactical droid to tell the other ships to fire on the flagship. The tactical droid is like, "We'll lose the battle and kill Ventress." And Dooku is like, "That's the point." So just as the Jedi seem to be getting the upper hand on Ventress, she pulls a Vader and starts force-choking Anakin and Obi-Wan. But the flagship gets attacked, and hyena droids suicide bomb the hangar. It forces Obi-Wan and Anakin to flee for their lives. Ventress follows suit and escapes her own, escaping in her own ship. Dooku recalls his ships from the battle, and then Dooku Skypes Palpatine to inform him that Ventress is dead, and Palpatine is all like, "Good, good." What did you think of Act 1? And my Palpatine impression.
it's dumb of Dooku to declare her dead without seeing the body. That's all I know.
Well, I guess if it's space, I mean, if she got blown up, he would just have to find, like, body pieces.
Yeah, I'd want proof. Even if she's not completely Sith, I would still not totally count her out. Although, you know, she has failed him quite a few number of times.
You know, I'm wondering if there's just battles we haven't seen, because thinking, it's mostly Act 1 and Act 2, but I think Grievous has failed him more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's definitely more successful than Grievous. She's definitely probably more fun to be around at the Sith cocktail parties, too, but...
Actually, there's a Sith cocktail party in Son of Dathomir, and she was just like, yay! She was pretty fun in that. Not Son of Dathomir, I'm so sorry. Dark Disciple. Dark Disciple.
I think this is, like, the third, like, As You Wish in so many episodes, too. And there was an As You Wish in the Star Wars Rebels season finale for season 3, I noticed yesterday I was watching it.
You know, I guess it's just one of those things. They're just all fans of The Princess Bride, and Dooku and Sidious just sit together and they're like, "Let's watch it."
Right, exactly.
And they just watch The Princess Bride all the time. And Ventress is just like, "Hey, can't we watch like monster ship rallies?" They're like, "No, we gotta watch Princess Bride. You're
monster
dead to us."
Monster ship rallies.
And that's what made them kill her, because she didn't want to join them in watching Princess Bride.
Monster Walker rallies.
That just reminded me of, like, the Robot Chicken episode where the two stormtroopers were, like, Dukes of doing, like, the whole Dukes of Hazzard thing with the walkers, and they're like, "Yeah!"
This December on Life Day, Life Day, Life Day!
Life Day, Life Day, Life Day!
Coming to the planet Kashyyyk for one day only, it's the galaxy-wide Monster Pod Racing Championship. You've been thrilled by Monster Pod Racing on planets like Tatooine, Coruscant, and Corellia. And now the wildest spectator sport in the galaxy will be in the home of the Wookiees on
Life Day, Life Day, Life Day!
In this exciting contest, we'll have giant and dangerous pod racers from every corner of the Empire, like Jojen Rand from Tatooine, always crushing the competition in his racer,
The Bad Side.
Coming to us from the dark corners of Coruscant is the one and only Darth Failure in his planet-crushing pod racer,
The Exhaust Force.
Finally, cheer on 5-time Monster Pod Racing Champion from Hoth,
The Wampa.
All other pod racers will be piloted by expendable leftover clone troopers to ensure maximum carnage.
Come see these three titans of the sport battle it out among the giant warshear trees, where the other pod racers are not necessarily your only enemy. So don't sit around like a pile of
poo-doo, poo-doo, poo-doo.
Get in your favorite Star Cruiser and set course for Kashyyyk for the best monster pod racing in a galaxy far, far away.
Life Day, Life Day, Life Day.
Yes.
I love her ship.
I love her ship too. I have that note as well.
With the red wings on it. Ah, oh, really cool. And it's It's good to see a big swath of color on a ship, too. That's really neat.
Because it kind of looks like Count Dooku's Sun Sailor, but hers is more like a fish shape.
Yeah. And I like hers better than Dooku's Solar Sailor. It's more, it's definitely more aggressive and evil looking.
Oh, yeah, his is just a big cloth. But you gotta keep in mind, he is a politician, so he can't, like, just show up rolling in a like inside a shark or something.
Right. I like that we're seeing the seeds of discontent with Dooku and Palpatine.
Yeah.
And Dooku and Ventress. Not so much Dooku being discontent with Ventress, but boy, Ventress is not gonna be happy with Dooku.
You know, I'm starting to wonder if, like, if Dooku was just like, well, there is a rule of two. I could train her and become the new Sith Lord.
I'm sure they're all thinking that. You know, that's how the Sith work. They're all, you know. I mean, I imagine every Sith probably knows that eventually they've got to be killed and replaced. That's sort of how it goes. But they think, I'm just going to see how old I can go. And there always has to be other Sith around. So they have to bring up trainees, but until they're ready to give up the throne, they probably, like, bring up their trainees, use them, and then kill them until one does it, you know?
You know, the rule two seems so stupid to me, but it's one of the, like, I guess it keeps them
power.
From being, like, what?
It forces them to build themselves to be powerful.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I guess it also keeps them from, like, bloating pretty much like the Jedi did. So, I mean, I get it, but I think it's dumb. Stupid.
Well, you better take that up with the Force. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, they could have, like, a rule of five or something.
The rules of five, yeah. The five-minute rule. Five-second rule of Jedi.
That's like, what the Inquisitors are for. The five-minute rule.
Right.
Actually, while we're talking on Dooku, because I had a note about him, too, and then I'll let you get back to your notes.
Well, I was going to say, that's about all my notes right there for the first part. It's a really short first part, just pretty... Bam, bam.
It was pretty much, like, battles for, like, the first, like, 6 minutes.
Very Star Wars beginning.
I don't think I had a note about that, but I love that fight with Anakin and Obi-Wan. Oh, I do have a note. I always need more battles of Ventress versus the Jedi. They're always so, so good. Mm-hmm. I just love how different she is from them in her fighting. And she fights in a fucking skirt, and she's fabulous. Though I was waiting, you know how in, I think it was The Deserter, like, Grievous, like, whipped off his cloak and threw it at Obi-Wan? I kind of want, like, Ventress to, like, whip off her skirt and throw it at them, too, because she always has those leggings on underneath it. Those, like, bandaged leggings that she always wears, but I just thought it would be funny if she, like, pulled off her skirt, and Anakin was just like, "Ooh, woman legs!" And
whoa! Like,
and then she just throws it at Obi-Wan or something.
Obi-Wan,
but,
what do we do?
Then we fight! There's a vagina! But
hang on a second. What?
Okay.
Yes.
Vaginas.
Yeah, I mean, we're like.
Okay.
Vaginas.
My roommate wanted to tell me something, but then it must be too long because she's like, "Are you actually recording?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Okay, I'll tell you later."
That's okay. I was thinking about vaginas. You should leave all that in there. Anyway,
everybody likes singing about vaginas, right?
Vaginas.
Oh yes.
Vaginas and pajamas are coming down the stairs.
Oh Jesus, you're taking. Oh my God, you're taking a children's song and classing it up. I love it.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes you want to wag your tail. When it comes, you want to yell vaginas. Anyway, so about Dooku. There's, like, a nice little quiet moment after the battle and before Dooku actually calls Palpatine to let him know that Ventress is dead. And he's just kind of, like, sitting there pondering. And he looks really troubled. And so, as a viewer, I read that as Dooku is really not settled with this decision at all. And, you know, while the Sith are always talking about their anger and their hate and stuff, from reading Dark Disciple, Ventress also tells Quinlan that the Sith allow themselves to have freedom with emotions. Like pleasure, you know, they make sure that they experience pleasure, unlike the Jedi, who are just, like, emotionally constipated. So it makes me wonder if Dooku really did not want to let Ventress go, and if he really wanted to keep her around because he actually liked having her there in her skills. And so I liked that moment, because it's a very rare side of Dooku that we really don't ever get to see a lot.
Yeah, that's true. The human side of Dooku.
Yeah.
I love his digs. I love his house, man.
Yeah, I know.
If I was going to be an evil villain, that's the kind of place I would want.
You know, I gotta say, the only human I think has never, like, shown any emotions and is truly a monster is Tarkin. Tarkin's just a monster at all times, always.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't stand Tarkin. I can't wait till he dies in a fire. Oh, wait, he did.
Oh, yeah, you'll get that chance.
Oh, it was so good.
Got every that chance like, right from the first movie.
I know. Every time the Death Star blows up, I'm just like, yay, Tarkin's dead. Yay. He blew up. I hope he died in a very slow fire, though. Like, he got stuck inside, like, a little room, and the room detached. And he was just like, oh, there's air in here. Oh, God, there's fire in here. And he burned slowly.
Jeez.
And then, like, all the ghosts of Adderall. What? There's that planet.
All the ghosts of Adderall?
What is that planet that he blew up? What is planet?
Alderaan.
Wow, I'm way off it tonight. All the ghosts of Alderaan just showed up, and they're like, we're taking your soul to hell. And then his, like, face melts up. He's like, no!
And all so the he gets Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I hope for. That's how he died, in my head. All the ghosts came and dragged his ass to hell. Kind of like in the movie The Mummy, at the end, when the mummy was there. Or actually, it was the second Mummy movie, and, like, it was the first one. Either way, like, he's hanging over the hell pit, and Brendan Fraser and the other girl was there, and he was just like, oh, they have love. And, like, he lets himself go, and all the hell demons, like, drag him to hell. That's kind of how I hope Tarkin died. That's how I like to imagine it.
I don't know if they got space hell, but if they do.
They do now. That's how I hope he died. I guess, let's see. I think it is kind of cool that the tactical droid was a lady. Now it's kind of a nice change of pace, because she had this, like, little smudging of, like, lipstick on her mouth, and she had a girl voice, and I was like, is that a girl tactical droid? It is. Huh. That's interesting. That's a different change of choice pace.
You need lipstick on that droid, though. It's like putting lipstick on a droid.
Yeah. And I guess the only other note I had for Act 1 is I love the moment that Dooku tells Ventress she's no longer his apprentice. She has this, like, real look of fear. And we rarely, rarely see Ventress have, like, fear on her face.
She wasn't expecting that answer at all. That's why she was... That just, like, took her completely, you know, by surprise. Surprised. I'm not talking right either. Gobsmacked her.
Gobsmacked. Talking in the past tense. I don't know. Neither one of us can talk tonight. I mean, I'm playing with erasers right now. I'm doing that. I'm trying to, like, see how far I can dig a pin cap into an eraser. As I'm talking and being productive, I'm listening. Gobsmacked. You used past tense. I heard you. So, Act 2?
I'm ready.
All right, Act 2. I scrolled too far. No, I scrolled up too much. Act 2. Here we go. All right, Act 2. As I say it for the fifth time. In the wreckage of the battle, a couple of scavengers pick up Ventress. She tells them she wants to go to Dathomir. When they don't comply, she kills them all and steals their ship. She flies herself to Dathomir. Arriving on the planet, some women in the trees follow Ventress on the ground. They surround her, take her lightsabers, and prepare to kill her. But Mother Talzin descends from the sky like a bird of evil and welcomes Ventress home, ordering the Night Sisters to take her to the village. Ventress faints into her arms. At the Night Sister village, Mother Talzin performs a ritual to restore and heal Ventress. We fall into a huge flashback of Ventress's life. We see that she's given up as a toddler to save her clan. We see her meeting Jedi Master Kai Narek and training her as his Padawan. Because Kai Narek was killed, Ventress murdered his attacker and fell to the dark side. It also shows Dooku taking her on as an apprentice. Ventress snaps up from her trance, ready for vengeance on Dooku. Mother Talzin is like, yeah, I know, he sucks a dick. And it sounds, you're like the second kid of the Sith I've gotten from me, and I'm ready to shank that bitch too. So here are two of our Night Sisters to help you murder that jerk. Mother Talzin whips up some Harry Potter magic potions and uses it to cloak Ventress and her two helpers. They get cloaked up so Dooku can't detect them. Talzin also gives them a few other tools to help out. She gives them a poison dart to take out Dooku's senses, including his sight, and gives them all lightsabers. She wants Dooku to think that the Night Sisters are Jedi, and they head out for their murder spree. Dun, 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 murder spree.
We were taking on a little bit of a Dune feel in this segment. I don't know how familiar you are with Dune, if you've ever read the books or seen either of the adaptations of it.
Not very much, so explain it for me and the people who don't know what Dune is.
Well, it's I believe his name is Frank Herbert, wrote Dune, and it's an extremely complicated science fiction novel, which has sort of, it definitely affected Star Wars. There are definitely elements of it in Star Wars. One of the big elements in it were the sandworms, and there was it was about a planet, a desert planet, very much like Tatooine, and warring clans and warring planets, and it was all over the spice, which is harvested on this planet, which is a product of the giant sandworms. And the spice is like the greatest drug in the galaxy, and it's also transforms people so that they can navigate long distances in space. So the whole trade of the universe is set up on the spice. And a noble kid who is family is takes over the planet of Arrakis gets sucked into the rebels in the dunes as a chosen one who'll bring water back to the planet and control of the spice back to the people of the planet. But the whole water of life thing with the ceremony they had was right out of Dune, and the little robot with the needle on the end of it is right out of Dune too. They had little assassin droids like that in Dune. So I think that was all, I don't know if it was conscious or unconscious when she wrote it, but that's that was very Dune-like.
You know, whenever I hear anybody talk about Dune, I always think of the video game Doom with an M.
Yeah, no, that's different.
Yeah, so I was just sitting here thinking, I was like, where do you, like, go through hallways and, like, shoot at monsters?
No, there's not much of that in Dune. Dune is a really good book. It's a very, very, very complicated political book, but it's really good. It was, I think it was after Lord of the Rings, it was the next big series of, you know, science fiction fantasy novels. It really got people excited, and it was another one of those holy grails for making into a, you know, that you can never make it into a movie. And I think they're about to start the third adaptation of it. But it was nice to see that little of that sprinkled into there were some things into the future here too, where I think the visions that Ventress had of her past reminded me a lot of Rey's visions in The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
and I wonder if some of that, I mean, that would be like Clone Wars affecting the new movies, which is very possible. I mean, even the way that it was presented was very reminiscent of The Force Awakens or vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, I would also argue, like, Episode 3 with Anakin's visions, but it was never, like, flashbacks. It was him getting visions.
Yeah, and Rey's was a vision, too, but just the way it was sort of presented, it was sort of like, this is Force vision, almost, you know?
Yeah.
So I like that. And I like more color, the color reds just all over the place in here.
I had that too. I said I always love the design of Dathomir. Red is always the color of the dark side, and the entire planet's color scheme from the sky.
Red.
Yeah, the sky, the plants, their clothes, like everything is red.
Yeah.
This is clearly a dark side planet.
That's really all the notes I had for it. I like this. There were some space rednecks.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. I love them. They're like, wow, you got a real pretty mouth. And she's like, you guys got real pretty broken necks.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen this movie before, but that was called Deliverance, and this is a Star Wars movie, so it's going to end differently for you guys.
Yeah, so I forgot about that part with the guys. We're just like, hey, let's pick up this chick. And they seemed like they were going to be so nice at first, because they, like, get her out, and they put her down, and they... you know, put some healing stuff in her, and then they're like, ha, we got you. And she's like, ha, you're dead. So, yeah, I forgot those guys were in here. So that some of the notes I have, I also like the design of the Night Sister Temple, like with that big mouth and the women like holding up the mountain.
Yeah.
That's really cool looking. And yeah, I've always just loved the voice acting of the Night Sisters too, and how it's kind of has that echoey quality. And I also love that Mother Talzin's voice is both masculine and feminine. Like you can hear a man talking with her. And I always just thought that was an interesting choice. And I never, you know, this is a matriarchy, clearly, and the women rule this planet, as we will see in next week's episode. But I always wonder, like, why also give her, like, a masculine air to her voice as well? Why not just, like, go, like, full out just Mother Talzin?
I think it's because it's the supernatural element of it that, like, there's more to them than... It almost with that effect almost made it seem like to me that they were trying to sort of make it feel like they're talking, but there's also an element of it that's going on inside your head too. You know what I mean?
See, I always took it as, and I didn't actually think about this till like literally about 20 seconds ago. There's the parts in Rebels where it was, I think that was the season 2 finale, and they were at the Sith Temple. And Ezra heard the holocron talking. Of course, they used Ventress's voice actress to do it, but there was also a masculine tone to that voice as well. So I think that part is, like, the female voice is Mother Talzin's voice. The masculine voice is the dark side's voice.
Very voodoo.
I know, right? But, like, that's the dark side talking through her. And that's how I just now kind of realized I took it.
It's creepy, and that's what they're going for.
Yes, it is very, very creepy. But I love it. I love it, love it. Okay, so a couple, let me finish up my little notes. I'm wondering what the threat was on the Night Sister clan that made them give up Ventress. Because the guy that gave him up just looked like he was just kind of like a slave trader or something, and she called him master when she was a baby. But, like, these are Night Sisters, you know, they have all the magics of the dark side, so, like, why would they, what threat made them?
Right, it's not like someone's going to come and stick him up and say, give me your kids, yeah.
And they'll be like, yeah, so I kind of wish I knew a little bit more about that, and it might be, like, in the legacy novels or something right. That we have.
Well, it's always good to not fill in everything either, too, because that could be another story for another time.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah, and I was talking about this with my coworker. There are two types of fans. There are people that like kind of like open endings, and there are fans that like love every detail that are just like, oh my god, tell me when exactly like Ventress got her first menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, fans that love every detail and fans that like it being open-ended, so your brain can just kind of go into wild space and think of anything. All right, so my two big notes. We see Mother Talzin perform magic. With Rebels and throughout the end of Clone Wars, we've seen so many beings use the Force in more mysterious, mystical ways, like the Lestats, the Bendus, and all that stuff. But I feel like it all started here. This is the first real time we've seen people other than Jedi and Sith use the Force, especially in, like, a magical way. This is a game-changing moment for Star Wars, showing that there's more to the Force than we previously thought. It's more than just, like, moving things with your mind and making Force lightning and just parkouring everywhere. This moment gives a real more depth to the Force, and it shows that many people interpret the Force in different ways. And that's such a cool, huge moment for Star Wars as a whole, because I think without this, I don't think we would have the Mortis arc. I don't think we would have the Lestats in Rebels doing it. So, like, this was kind of the first...
Well, there's the... And Rogue One gives us a little more shading on that, you know?
Yeah, and, like, Maz Kanata, I mean, gave a lot of insight on that.
Yeah, and I think that's smart, because we're now seeing... Okay, you had the Jedi and the Sith... Maybe the Jedi were like the Christians. You know what I mean? Where you have all these concepts of God, but you have all these different religions that have their rules and their ideas and all that. And maybe the Jedi and Sith... I mean, it just makes sense that the Jedi and Sith wouldn't be the only game in town, especially since, you know, there's mention in the prequels about the Great Mystery, you know, which is probably like... what the hell's up with the Force, you know?
Yeah.
So which means they don't know, which means their religion is just as valid as any other take on that religion. So basically, like, the Jedi are sort of like the Christians, and I guess the Sith are like the Satan worshippers or whatever. But, you know, I mean, you know, the Wills are almost kind of like the space Buddhists, you know, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And the sisters are sort of like somewhere in between voodoo and Wicca.
Like Wiccan. Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. And it also, you know, if you're planning on, which even before Disney in these days, they're planning on building off Star Wars. I mean, George Lucas was talking about a live action show that they were, you know, in pre-production for at this time. So you have to sort of expand that stuff if you want to take it anywhere or go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
If you want to expand that universe for people to live in.
Because I was thinking that this is the first time we've seen someone other than Sith and Jedi use the Force, right?
In Clone Wars.
Did we see it in the prequels?
Not in the prequels, but in some, like, I am 0% up on the stuff from Legends, but you go way back to Splinter of the Mind's Eye, and they had old Hala, who is just an old witch lady who knew a few tricks with the Force, and she was just a little bit ahead of Luke Skywalker, who was fresh off Obi-Wan Kenobi, and so she helped Luke out with a few little Jedi tricks, you know, to focus and concentrate his mind. But she was just an old lady who was adept at the Force, you know, who had a reputation as a witch. So it's not unheard of at all, you know, but it's in the main movies, no, it's Jedi and Sith that are doing all the Force stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or people who are potential Jedi, like Leia, gets a little bit of, you know, psychic communication with Luke through the Force.
Yeah, because that was more how I meant it, like, in the actual canon, between, you know, if you saw the original trilogies and then went back and watched the prequels to now, not counting, like, the Legends stuff. So, yeah, because, I mean, obviously, we said in the featurette that the Night Sisters have been around for a while, but I just... If someone was just watching the straight up canon stuff, this would be their first experience of seeing someone that aren't Jedi using the Force.
That was me. Yeah, I mean, I was not familiar that these characters maybe not even the specific all the specific characters were in books before. So when I first saw this, I was really excited because I was like, this is a little off. It felt a little weird because it was off the rails for Star Wars. But at the same time, it was novel, and it made sense, and it was just really fun.
Did you like the Night Sisters and all this the first time you saw it?
Yes. Not in the first seconds, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And but after that initial shock wore off, my first thoughts on this, and I sort of remember, and I don't know if it was this episode, the next episode, or the third it was one of the episodes in this trilogy where I was just like, this is like some of the most Star Wars feeling Clone Wars to me yet. Like,
yeah.
There's something new going on with it. There's novelty to it, but at the same time, it's still telling the story like Star Wars, and I love it. I love the way it looks. I love the way it plays out. I love everything about it.
Because I'm asking because when I went with the group of my friends to see Rogue One, one of them were talking about how, like, they weren't really liked the stuff with Chirrut and the Wills because he was like, he felt like that was taking away from the Jedi and the Sith. And he was like, well, only them should be able to use the Force. And I'm like, well, no, the Force is a much bigger thing. They're just one small piece of this much bigger thing. Mm-hmm. And I also used the whole comparison to religion, you know, like there's different takes on God with different religions and stuff like that. But yeah, like I could see where someone would be like, oh, this is taking away from the Jedi and the Sith. But at the same time, it makes sense because this is a massive galaxy and
right.
There's more in it than just Jedi and Sith. And then we get something as cool as say like Bindu, who's like the middle ground. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
The dude's just, you know, as he says, I'm a rock in the stream and I'm going to outlive all of you. This is petty. This is beyond me. Get off my lawn. And so, like, I think this is really cool. Actually, listeners, go to our Two True Freaks Facebook page and find this episode. It's Night Sisters. And I would really love to hear what you guys thought about seeing the Night Sisters for the first time and seeing people who weren't Jedi and Sith using the Force for the first time. And then I would also like to know what you guys think, like, looking back on it now, like, now that we've had more Rebels and we've had Rogue One with, like, Turret and the Wills and stuff, what do you think of it now? So, yeah, go to our Two True Freaks Facebook page, find the episode of Night Sisters, and leave us a comment, because I would actually really love to know what other people thought the first time they saw the Night Sisters. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, look at all these badass bitches. I was in college, and I was like, wow, females in Star Wars, this is amazing, and they're all evil. This is amazing.
Star Wars has always been called a space fantasy. It's never been called science fiction by the people who made it. And this was where it just really... This is the moment where it has veered... Up to this point, it's veered the most into fantasy. And while still maintaining the integrity without going off the rails of the, you know, the rules of the universe. And while it's inventing new stuff, but the new stuff is not inconsistent or incompatible with the old stuff. To me, is anyway.
Just wait till we get to the Mortis arc, where it's like full out Lord of the Rings with dragons.
Right.
I am both excited and dreading the Mortis arc, so... But we're almost there. We'll be there in a few weeks. So, the only other note I had for Act 2 was, you know, Dave Filoni and George Lucas didn't have to show us the side of Ventress. Like, we didn't have to do a backstory, and we didn't have to do a Ventress episode, and we could have just kept the entire series about the hero side of the story, and just focusing on, like, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka. But after the episode Heroes on Both Sides with the Separatists, and now this, he gives us very rare insights into the lives of the bad guys, which not a lot of shows do, and it's what makes Clone Wars so good and so rich, to make sure that the bad guys' stories are just as important as the Jedi story.
They have the time to do it, and they, you know, it's set in between movies, so they can only go so far, so they might as well, like, explore everything that they can within that you know, bubble that they've created, that timeline that they have, you know?
And with someone like Ventress, you know, like, she's not a movie character, so they could do, like, an entire spinoff show of just Ventress.
Anything they want, as long as they make sure she's not gonna be in the picture by episode 3.
Yeah, and, like that's kind of, like, the restrictions on Obi-Wan and Anakin. We've talked about that before. Like, they can only push them so far before they have to, like, pull it back and make sure they're not surpassing their episode 3 side. Same thing with, like, Padme, but, like, with characters like Rex and Ahsoka and Ventress, like, these characters... They can take them in any which direction, which is why we have, like, Rebels and Ahsoka, like, Ahsoka and Rex and Rebels, because they made sure to avoid that. Now, I personally argue that you kind of get in kind of a gray area there with Maul, because I like Maul now, but I still remember when Maul came back, I was like, he was cut in half, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm, like, sitting here going, why isn't Maul in, like, episode 3 then? But at the same time, like, he was cut in half and living as a Spider-Man and stuff. So, and
doing
then, of course...
whatever a spider can.
Yeah, and of course, and then he's dead before the timeline of episode 4, so, I mean, it works. But, I think that's so smart of him, because they did not have to give us a Ventress backstory, and they gave us 3 episodes of Ventress, and they're all great. So, and more after that. There's many more Avengers episodes later on in the show, so I'm just very happy they didn't make her just like a 2D villain twirling his mustache and coughing and destroying ships in the night.
No, they already got one of those.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I don't think Grievous ever has, like a character arc or anything. He's just being evil and destroying things.
My little Grievy bobblehead's glaring at me as we speak.
Oh, I would have kind of liked more Grievous backstory, like I think that would have been cool.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see what he was like before he was mechanized, you know?
I mean, I know there's,
he was
like...
He probably a bastard. He was probably like Dracula, you know?
I mean, I know there's comics of it, because I've seen pictures of him in comic form before he got all mechanized. But I kind of would like to see something canon. I think that would have been really cool. And I don't foresee it coming up in Rebels.
No.
Unless they go to, like, Grievous's home planet, and they're like, Grievous is a martyr to them. They're like, it's our god, Grievous! And Rex and Kanan are like, what is this?
They should do a Star Wars anthology show that just does different stories from past characters in different time periods of Star Wars. That would be fun just to...
What if that's the movie after the Han Solo and Boba Fett movie? Because I think
I'd be happy with that.
They just did, like, an interview, and they were like, we would like to do at least 18 Star Wars movies through Disney. And I was like, 18? Jesus Christ!
I thought they were... I didn't even think they had set that kind of... I didn't even think they'd set a number. I thought they were pretty much, like, indefinitely, like, every year.
are planned. There's a massive amount. Yeah, Dino Geeks, movie schedule and release date calendar... Oh, 6 movies planned through. Sorry. Wait, what is this? 2017. This was back in... I at least knew 2020, and I think episode of Boba Fett, and they announced something. And it was one of those, like, in the situation, they were like, we would like to do this, but it wasn't anything that... It was, like, the head of, like, Disney or something like that. But they... Oh, no, they have... They have movies a plan through 2030.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And as they get close to 2030, I'm sure it's going to expand outward.
Oh, here you go. This is on movieweb.com. Hope you love Star Wars, because there's a whole lot more planned throughout the next decade and a half. If we're to believe Disney CEO Bob Iger, we're looking at an upwards of at least 12 movies before 2030. Perhaps more if Disney decides it wants to release more than one movie a year.
Right.
Since Lucas purchased, So we're looking at least 12 between now and 2030.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Me too, man. Me too. Well, are you ready for Act 3?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is my least amount of reading because the majority of the act was a fight. So.
It's just, yeah, I know. There's not a lot of writing for this episode. It's pretty funny. There's a lot in this episode. You don't really have to synopsize a lot, though.
Yeah, because, like, the first, like, 5 minutes was a fight, and then a good chunk of the middle part was flashback, and then walking inside mist, and then a fight.
Atmosphere, I mean,
But it was, like, all the other stuff that was there, so... arriving on Raxus... Oh, sorry, Act 3. Act 3, everybody. Arriving on Raxus, Ventress and the Night Sisters sneak into Dooku's palace. Dooku is all asleep in his Ninja Turtle pajamas, and he's having some good dreams about murdering children and burning down villages. But his nice dreams are ended when Ventress shoots him in the neck with a dart. Even with his eyes blurred out, Dooku puts up a hell of a fight, wrongfully assuming that they're Jedi. 3-on-1, but the Night Sisters can't get the upper hand on him. Until they do, and they finally corner him and disarm him. Before Ventress can kill him, Dooku shoots all 3 ladies with his Force Lightning and throws them out the window. The ladies have no choice but to return to Dathomir. Returning home, Mother Talzin is like, "You guys didn't fail. You opened a big old door for us to go and get him. He's gonna want to protect himself now, and I have a plan." Mother Talzin Skypes up Dooku, and she's all nice and pleasantries, all like, "Hey, babe, what's up?" And he's like, "Oh, not much, just got a tech, it's fun." And she's like, "That's cool, I like your Ninja Turtle pajamas." And he's like, "Thanks, Palpatine got them to me." And then finally, Talzin cuts down to business, and she offers up a new solution for him. And she's like, "Well, you remember the Maul guy that used to work for Palpatine? We got, like, an entire planet full of Maul guys that we can give you since you obviously can't handle our ladies." And Dooku is like, "Well, I was raised in Jedi school, so I suck when it comes to talking to women. They don't teach you how to talk to women. There's no how to talk to girls in Jedi school. So, yeah, I'll totally take one of your men. That sounds great. Thanks." And Ventress is ready to go after Dooku again, but that's all going to have to wait until next week. The end.
Whenever you say mall guys, I just think of, like, 80s teenagers at the mall.
I just imagine Darth Maul dressed up as a mall rat, and he's like, I had to pay like three
alligator t-shirt in the 80s.
Like, and he's just like sitting there with a skateboard, and this mall security are like, you can't have a skateboard. He's like, don't tell me what to do. And he kick flips and like flies down a railing, and all the kids are like, yeah, Maul. And then he like stays there every Friday. He's like, this is my mall now. I know every inch. I was totally a mall rat when I was like in high school. I remember every Friday, because we used to have a skate park in our mall before it closed down, but they had an arcade. And me and my, like, group of friends probably spent easily between $70 to $100 between, like, the 7 to 10 of us playing Dance Dance Revolution every Friday.
Our mall is 20 miles away, so it was just a pain to get there. So it was, you had to take treks to it. Couldn't just, like, go dum-da-dum, hang out.
Yeah, I mean, like, we would be such jerks, too. Like, we would just sit in big circles in the middle of the floor and play, like, cup games and run around and make out behind, like, walls and in family bathrooms.
That's what malls are for.
Yeah, we were totally mall rats. And now that I'm older and I work in a mall, I'm just like, ugh, mall rats. I'm sorry, younger me. Why did you do this to yourself? So, what'd you think of Act 3, Chris?
Hey, I have a question about Part 3. This is my only real quibble with this episode.
Huh.
Why not just put deadly poison in the dart? Game
because
over.
We can't kill Dooku.
What's that?
Because Dooku makes it episode 3.
I know. But that's what I mean. That's what I wouldn't just mess around with making him blind. Why not make him blind and put some happy juice in there too, so he's like drunk too, you know?
I wonder if there's
they're
a
witches.
Bit of like
they could turn him into a space frog or something.
I wonder if a lot of it is like Ventress getting her revenge, like. I mean, she could just, like, from the Avengers.
Yeah,
shoot him
no,
blast.
She wants to chop him up alive in a fight, yeah.
Which
they
is
all
dumb.
Do. That's also part of it, you know. I like how they handled the invisibility because it wasn't true invisibility, and I was wondering if that was just there so we could see what they were doing or if that was what it was supposed to look like in real life. Didn't
I
matter.
Think what, I think it's what... So we could, as an audience, could see it, because Mother Talzin said, you're invisible to most, and yeah. Ventress was like, even Dooku, and he was like, and she said, perhaps even Dooku.
Right. So I think that was just there for us to see it, so, but either way, it looked really cool.
Yeah.
A little Predator-like, but a little more organic than Predator style. And once again, I love his classy, evil hideout. I just fucking love it. The fight was wonderful. You know, it's we've had two great fights now recently, with the one with Cad Bane versus Obi-Wan and what's his name, the tracker, your boyfriend there,
Quinlan Voss.
So we've had two really nice epic fights, and you get to see Dooku, and you know they really developed his fighting style. He has a fighting style, has a special lightsaber. That's his lightsaber is different from other lightsabers, where it's designed to fight other lightsabers. So
yeah,
it's like hostile.
I remember reading something like that. Like, it's purposely curved to help defend his hands.
Right. It's for fighting rather than just as an all-purpose tool. It's basically a lightsaber of violence. So. And the way he fights is very much the way he fought in the movies too. So, I loved it. This whole scene was awesome, and it even had a bonus Yoda saying in it.
Hmm.
Where others see failure, others see opportunity. In bed.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, when Mother Talzin said that, I'm like, that's a very Jedi thing to say.
Yeah, it's very Yoda.
Very Jedi Sith thing.
Who knows?
To
she might have hung out with Yoda at some time. They're all old.
That's
they
true.
They all run in the same circles.
We actually, yeah, we don't really know how old Mother Talzin was. So yeah.
I'm betting millennia. I'll bet you're really old.
You know, I don't think that old, because in the featurette, she wasn't the clan mother when they took Maul from her. And so, well, they could age, like, maybe they age quickly and then they just stay adults forever. That could be a possibility.
That could be.
This is a Star Wars universe. That could be a possibility. So.
Well, they might only stop aging when they reach a certain level of power that they can do it, too. So, you know.
Yeah. And these are witches. They can find immortality if they want to.
Yeah.
They do have something called the Water of Life.
Yum, yum.
So.
unlike our water, which is the water of death.
Yeah.
I think on Earth, anyway, all water is pretty much the water of life.
Yeah. Well, did you have anything else for Act 3?
That's all my notes.
So, the only things I had for Act 3, I thought it was cool to follow up with the whole red scheme of Dathomir. Did you notice that the hologram transmission between Dooku and Talzin was red and not blue?
Yes.
Is that the first time we've seen it not blue?
I don't think I've ever seen a red one before, no. I think they've always been, like, variations of, you know, darknesses of blue towards almost white.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really cool because I was like, wow, like, it's a red hologram. I can't ever remember seeing that, ever. I just have to say, I think it's really cool to see that Dathomir is a matriarchy. You know, we got to see Darth Maul first in episode 1, and he's a really strong dude. But to know that his planet is actually ruled by women, and that they're stronger, and they're in charge of the planet, and they're in charge of the men, is just kind of like a really cool thing about his culture. Because I think this is the first matriarchy we've seen in the universe where it's like the women are in charge of everything. And we haven't really seen matriarchies, but they're all also evil women. So
we've seen women in charge, but not the whole society being a matriarchy.
Which
that's for sure.
See next, where we see like next week, like Ventress rolls into the boy town and they're all just like, it's a girl.
I got a little bit of a matriarchy vibe from, the cloners.
Oh, the Kaminoans?
The Kaminoans. I got a little matriarchal vibe off them, but not enough. It was just a vibe of it. There was not enough information to know
what their hierarchy is. I know they have, like, a dude that's a prime minister.
Because
that's the dude that's always talking with Shaak-Ti and was, like, showing Obi-Wan around. But, I mean, they are kind of, like, the quote-unquote moms and dads of the clones. So...
Everything in their technology was very womb-like, you know what I mean?
And it's very soft, like it's soft
and womb-like, and it reminds me of the operating theater when Amidala is giving birth, you know, and the robot there, everything's, you know, so that's what I always got that impression, you know, that it was kind of a matriarchal or very feminine society that made the clones. But that's just
true.
Through a few little hints. There's nothing, you know, explicit to say that I got.
You know, and I think we've also seen more females from Kamino, too. Like, right. I can only, on top of my head, can recall one dude, and that's the Prime Minister. But Halle Berry, whatever her name is from last episode... that's a female, and then there's the woman that shows Obi-Wan around in episode 2, and she was female.
Right.
And thinking into future episodes, there's another female doctor that interacts with the clones. So I wonder if there's just not a lot of guys in general, or if just in the facility that we see...
Or the guys have more of a peon place in society, so we don't see them in Star Wars, because they're down, you know... They're down in, like, engineering, or they're down, like, mining raw materials and or tending the home, you know?
Yeah, or there's another woman, too. I just thought of the episode, now I can't remember it. But there was another episode earlier in Clone Wars. Oh, it was the Brain Invaders with, like, the space slugs that was controlling Barriss. Kit Fisto was on a hospital ship. And there is a female Kamino in there, too.
So, yeah, wait, the bugs are kind of matriarchal, aren't they?
That's true. Geonosis was. Yes. It was a matriarch. They had queens. They were a hive system. So all the matriarchs are evil bitches. Kamino is kind of evil bitches, but even though they have a prime minister.
I don't know if I put the Night Sisters as being evil bitches, though. I don't know. I kind of like them. I'm not totally opposed to...
Maybe evil bitches is a strong term, but this planet is definitely a dark side planet.
Yes, yeah.
But to them, you know, they're doing good work. So, like, in every villain, they think that they're the hero. So, I mean, like, it's just, you know, being in the dark side is just a regular day to them. Mm-hmm. So, they probably look at the light side and they're just like, ugh. Ugh.
They're not out seeking power. That's what I like about them. They're just doing their own thing, and they're not out, like, trying to take over the galaxy.
You know, I also kind of get the feeling they're not as technologically advanced because they are more of a magic system.
Yeah, they don't have to be. They do it through... magic is their technology. They can live a more earthy existence or you know, Dathomiri existence.
Yeah. So I here's the word I hate. I feel like they're more rural.
Rural.
Than other planets that we've seen, like something like Coruscant, which is very much highly technological and stuff. So they don't have to have like massive spaceships or Tatooine, where we saw Mom of the Hutt, like she had a spaceship, but she also lived in the bayou.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if Gardula the Hutt is the head of the Hutt council, and it's not a matriarchy, but she is the head of it. So that's cool. Anyway, just something I wanted to say again, and something I mentioned when we were talking about Aurra Sing in the past. What Clone Wars does so well is showcase all kinds of different women. And they even show us, like, mean women, since I wrote evil, but we just decided that they're not evil. Having bad guys who are ladies isn't always that common. And it's nice to have that change of pace and to have, like, bad ladies running around. Because women are just as capable of being good and bad as men are. So I just really like that element of this entire story arc is you have these, like, bad, mean ladies in the dark side. And they're like, yes, we will go out and murder Dooku.
I think with this in Rebels and with Star Wars just in Disney's hands altogether, but I think Clone Wars sort of followed the same formula where they knew they were dealing with a younger audience and the Cartoon Network audience, and they knew that there'd be just as many girls watching, and they were way more aware of that when making this show, you know, making characters for girls to identify with, as we've discussed, you know,
for hours
up to this point. So yeah, it's a little different, you know, it's a little different than the movies up to this point, but now the movies are more like this than anything else, you know, now.
And it still makes people
go ahead.
I was just about to say, it still makes people upset because they're just like, oh, girls are in the movie.
Yeah.
My movie's
well,
so
I mean, someday people are gonna have to accept that girls are 51% of the population, so
yeah. It's not on my notes, but the more I think about it, I just think Mother Talzin's design is really cool, too. She just looks creepy.
Yeah.
And how her, like, dress, like, kind of hovers.
She looks like something out of a fantasy novel while still looking Star Wars. That's what I like about it.
There's actually a ration. There's, like, I don't know what it's called. There's like a Russian like water, it's not a Nagasaki, that's Japan. There's like a Russian myth about a witch that lives in the water, but she comes out looking beautiful, and when men comes close to her lake, she drags them to the lakes, and she turns into like this kind of
like a
fish
dryad looking. Or something.
Yeah, but it has like a Russian name.
Yeah,
though.
No, I know, I totally know what you're talking about.
God, I might have to go get my monster book.
No, somebody'll look it up for us and tell us on Facebook.
Yeah, but it's like a Nagaski or A sound and a ski sound in it. But I remember like reading about it, and like that's kind of what she reminds me of. Like she could probably be like super pretty, but then she'll turn into like fish monster and drag you to your doom. And that's how I kind of feel, and you know, so. We always say that Dooku is a stooge, but it's great having an episode showcasing, like, why he's so deadly. And he easily holds off 3 assassins, even with his eyes all messed up and not being able to see them.
Yeah, he's on his home turf, too, so that gives him a little bit of help.
Yeah. Also, knowing Mother Talzin's background with the Sith and how they took both her son and Ventress from her, it's kind of shady and smart at the same time that she's guiding Ventress through her vengeance, because it's also Mother Talzin's vengeance as well. It's kind of like those, like, fashion show moms that, like, put their kids in beauty pageants and they're, like, living through their children. She's like, yes, that's my baby trying to kill Dooku! Yay!
It makes me wonder if Dooku actually is, you know, because he's sort of like, okay, sounds like a good idea. We'll, you know, all my people call your people. But I wonder if he's thinking to himself, I don't trust this at all. This is way too, it's way too convenient. And she's like, oh, I have my sources and stuff like that. So I gotta wonder how, if Dooku's as dumb as he appears to her, or if she, like, even believes that he's that dumb, you know, since they have history with each other. I love how it sets it all up. I can't wait to watch the other two episodes of this because it's been a long time since I've seen them. But I love that they're, you know, you're thinking, oh, Dooku's kind of stupid. But I know it's, I don't remember how the storyline goes, but I know he's not really that stupid.
Yeah, I think part of it is like, he's like, oh, cool. Like, and probably in the back of his mind, he's like, they're trying to trick me. But then he's like, you know, I'm more powerful on the dark side, whatever
yeah,
they throw at me.
I might get an apprentice anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, like he might get a brand new apprentice, and if he doesn't, he'll just kill the apprentice and be done with it.
Yeah.
So no skin off his back. And my last note, we're now starting to get into the run of Clone Wars, where it's a series of story arcs that make up one story. And so, like, while this episode is self-contained, it's clearly going to have to continue to next week because it's like an open end. Do you think that this episode works as a standalone, or do you think it needs the next episode to help it along? Because if I had any gripes about this episode, is the fact that it has trouble standing alone without the next week's bigger story arc that goes with it. And so, and I'm not saying that. I love the 3-4 episode story arcs. It gives us more time with the characters, and it's, to me, character development is more important than, like, the big space battle of the week. But do you think that this episode does all right standing alone now that we're starting to get into the run of the story arcs?
Yes. I think it does great standing alone, and then is gonna improve in the course of the arc. That's sort of how I remember it from the last time I watched it, which was like 5 years ago. So yeah, as a standalone, maybe it wasn't 100% satisfying as in tying everything up, but boy oh boy, I was happy at the end of it.
Yeah,
I was just wow, that was some strong Star Wars right there.
Because I kind of want to ask this question next week as well. Because I was thinking, like, when I was making this question, I was thinking of, like, what if a fan just decided to watch a random episode of Star Wars, and they watched, like, the second episode of the Citadel arc, or, like, the second episode of the Umbara arc, or the second episode of the Mortis arc without seeing the first? Would they be really confused? Or would those episodes work well on their own? And I think some are better than the others. Like, if you jumped in the middle of Umbara, it's a battle. You know, you're in the middle of a battle and stuff like that. But if you jump into, say, like, the second episode of the Mortis arc, and you're like, why is Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka in Lord of the Rings right now? Like, they
might
get confused.
Right, but that, I mean, the battle at the beginning of this was written to just be sort of a background element to the story. You know, it wasn't meant to be an important, you know, battle tactically or something. It was a background for what's playing out in it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I was just wondering how you felt it, if it stood alone well. But that's all I have for this episode. Do you have anything else, Chris?
No. Ready to start churning out some numbers?
All right. So what was your final thoughts on the episodes, and how would you rate it?
I love this episode. I seem to remember the other two episodes in this might actually be better. I'll have to see. I'm watching the next one tonight, actually. But I love this one especially because it introduces the Knights. You know, it's the introduction of the Knight Sisters, and it's the introduction of that whole of a different mystical level to Star Wars. And This is a standout episode in my memory of all the Clone Wars episodes I've seen. So I gave this one a 9.
Oh, I was close. Actually, as you were talking, I was thinking about it. We didn't really talk much, if at all, about the fact that Ventress used to be a Jedi Padawan.
Right.
Do you think that was, like, an interesting reveal that she actually was used to be, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan, or it doesn't
no,
make
I
sense?
No, I could see that. I could see a little bit of that in it, you know. She's definitely more human and reasonable than Darth Vader is after he went from Anakin to Darth Vader. She's definitely not as monstrous, so I could definitely see that, you know.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool reveal, too, because, you know, she always seemed like the evil Ventress. But in this, she wasn't. It kind of gave her more of a, like, a nicer, softer side, like she used to be in their shoes, which I thought was just a really cool moment to get that kind of reveal for her.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of serial killers that start out as Boy Scouts or girls, or well, more likely Boy Scouts.
That's where they learn to make their fires and build tents to camp in the woods as they're digging bodies.
Yeah.
All right, well, for my final thoughts on the episode, I love this entire episode for so many reasons. We get to see new sides of Ventress, and we get her backstory as a Jedi Padawan. Mother Talzin is just so creepy and so mean, and I love her. And we also get some major moments in the Star Wars canon that greatly impacted the universe as a whole. We get to see that the Force is bigger than just Jedi and Sith, and there's many elements like magic to the Force that we didn't know about before. That's really awesome. And we also see that Dooku isn't a stooge and can stand on his 2 feet. Is it the best episode? No, but it's definitely up there for me. So I gave it an 8.5 out of 9.
Ooh, I actually scored higher this time.
I almost scored it a 9, but I was thinking about some of my other 9 episodes that there are certain ones I like.
Somewhere to go with it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just also, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't score it a 9. I think compared to other episodes, if I had to sit down, I would rather watch something, say, like, The Deserter over this one if I just like felt like watching a random episode Clone Wars. But I would rather watch this one than say like Supply Lines with Jar Jar Binks.
I like pretty colors too, so that helps a lot with this one.
This was a beautiful episode
pretty
for colors.
Colors.
Especially like the bright reds of Dathomir versus the darkness of Dooku's palace.
Yeah, and I like the earthy element to it as opposed to the a break from the technological aspect of it, you know.
And it was really cool. Like we didn't talk about it, but when the Night Sisters are like land on Raxus and they're going through the trees and they're just like silent ghosts. That's a really cool like little section too. Well, as always, as I choke on coffee. We would love to hear your feedback, either at iTunes or Twitter or at the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from the Facebook page for our episode, Hunt for Zero. So, take it away, Chris.
All right, so Aaron Henley starts us out with sorry, and I'll say why he says sorry, because nobody commented on this one yet, and we were like, we're not way ahead on our recording anymore, so we need our feedback, like, quickly.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, hey, does anybody have anything to say about this episode before we record the next episode? And Aaron Henley is usually there right away with something, but he might have been having a busy week or something. So he starts out with, sorry, was still recovering from seeing so many Twi'lek dancing girls. Dancing girls. I don't know why I pronounced it like that. Like Chekhov. Overall, I really dug this episode, but I did have a couple points that stood out to me. While it was so awesome to see Quinlan Voss in Clone Wars, I really didn't like the dude take on the character, which is literally there was a line from that movie from the dude's mouth in Quinlan Voss. So and he says, I came to enjoy the character from Republic Comics and the struggles and temptations he went through. Also, dating Ayla didn't hurt either. And just to see the whole, hey man, be chill take didn't sit right with me. From what I've heard, Dark Disciple was going to address this and make him more of a character the fans knew best.
Oh yeah, it's been really good, just so you know.
Time to put reading that back on my list of things to do. Also, I'm also ticked that the person who ruined the ending, too. I don't normally bash somebody, but that was a step too far, and I do apologize for tearing into that person.
We didn't see it. I didn't see where he did that.
I totally missed that, so hey, no problem.
Yeah, as long as you were nice and didn't bully, that's fine. Because bullying is wrong, kids.
It was neat to see a bit more of Sice Noodles in the time before Return of the Jedi and find out that she can be just as conniving as her hot boyfriend. Also, to switch gears a bit, the whole problem with Greedo I mentioned earlier was that people were saying, well, how could he be in Clone Wars and then in Star Wars and not look like he had aged at all? It must be his son, Greedo the Younger. Yeah, fans have invented an entire character just to keep their brains from melting. I personally had no problem with it being the same Greedo, as a lot of aliens we see in Star Wars have a lot longer lifespan than humans. That seems to definitely be a constant in Star Wars. Yoda's race, Wookiees, Maz Kanata's race, and those are the ones that are really old. And also, anyone thinks it's odd that Greedo is involved in two controversial moves in Star Wars? Well, I like the Han Solo shot first camp. I can take it either way, and really there's a lot more important stuff we can argue about than how fast a blaster trigger is pulled. So that's my feedback for the episode, and I can't wait for this week's. Maybe as Greedo's age, their skin gets more rubbery. That's why he looked like a rubber mask in episode 4.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, my favorite part.
It is your favorite part now. It used to be your least favorite part, but now you're candied up along with me.
This week, for your listeners who don't know, several episodes ago, Chris was bitching about how much he hates American Kit Kats, and so our listener and Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, Dario, the lovely Dario, we love you, he's a flight attendant, so he sent Chris and I candy from all over the world. So we are now reviewing candy, and I'm going to be reviewing the dark chocolate bar from Brazil called Diamante Negro.
I ate mine last night in a I need chocolate fit, and so I actually that one's fresh on me, so I'm gonna be interested to see. Now he was saying this was one of the darkest chocolates you can get, so that's what he said. So I'm gonna be interested to see your reaction. Well, I have one that I've been looking forward to. It was on top of my pile, but now I've got so many Kit Kats, it sort of fell to the bottom and I forgot about it. It's one of those ones, it doesn't say what it is, but it has a picture on it. Mm-hmm. But I am pretty sure that it is a picture of cheesecake with cherry drizzled over top of it.
Cheesecake?
If it's not, it might be a wedge of flan, you know, like a Mexican custard, but
cheesecake?
It's sitting there with a fork and it's big like a piece of cheesecake.
Cheesecake and cannolis are my two favorite desserts. Like, I love cheesecake and I love cannolis. Like,
they're very similar. We have a place that makes cannoli donuts up here. Donuts with filled with cannoli filling. Okay.
Because I'm eating my diamond black dark chocolate.
Well, it's a good sign here because mine's white, so like cheesecake. Wow. Oh my god, Hope, this
so
tastes
jealous.
Like real cheesecake.
I'm so jealous.
This tastes like real cheesecake.
Oh my god.
I haven't even gotten to the crunchy part. I'm just on the white chocolate.
Mine?
Which is... Oh my god, it's good.
There's something crunchy in mine. I can't figure out what it is. Because it doesn't look like there's anything crunchy, but every time... I think it's like little pockets of, like, hard, dark chocolate,
There's little crunches in there, almost like a crunchier version of Crackle or something, you know? Or like the stuff that has toffee in it, but it's not toffee in it. Yeah, isn't it strange?
It's kind
good.
It's sticking to my teeth almost, like...
Mm-hmm. Like Butterfingers.
Almost, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's... When I bite into it initially, it wasn't the dark chocolate I was expecting. It, like, tasted sweet initially, but the more I chewed, the sweetness went away, and it wasn't, like, as super sweet. It kind of, like, took on more of that dark chocolate.
But it's not really... It's not as dark as I thought it was going to be, you know? It's sweet.
Yeah.
It wasn't very bitter like dark chocolate is, but it was delicious. This is... I don't think this is any strawberry in my cheesecake. I think it's just straight up... cheesecake, but the crunch in the middle of the Kit Kat is almost acts like when you have the graham cracker crumb at the bottom of the cheesecake, you know? Gives it that texture. If they would have made it out of graham crackers, I think my brain would have exploded right there.
That sounds so good.
But, yeah, the last two have been okay. This one's a winner. Chicken dinner.
The more I eat this, the less sweet it gets. Like, my first initial bite, it almost tasted like milk chocolate, but the more I eat it, the less sweet it gets.
Well, it was like that bar you had from Hawaii the other day, or at least mine was when I opened it up. It didn't have that deep, deep, dark brown color. It has almost like that white, chalky outer layer of it, you know?
Yeah. Thank you, Mario. Dario, that's so good. I'm out of drinks.
And this week I'm licking white chocolate off my fingers instead of dark chocolate.
So you're saying we're representing the light side and the dark side of the candy?
Yes. Today we're Jedi candy. Last week was Sith candy. Although I don't like that. That sounds vaguely racist. Brown candies, Sith. The white candies, Jedi.
I don't know. That was pretty good. I'll happily be... dark chocolate candy forever.
I would rather be dark chocolate candy, personally.
I love white chocolate too, though. So.
I'm not a big fan of white chocolate. I'm I remember when I was a little kid, my grandparents gave my sister and I white chocolate Easter bunnies, chocolate bunnies, and I cried. I was polite enough to cry, to be like, oh, thank you. And then later on, my mom's like, are you going to eat your chocolate bunny? And I'm like, no, I don't like it.
Yeah, white chocolate is one of like, the few like super sweet things I like. But even then, I can only eat it in like small amounts because it is super sweet, and I don't like super sweet things in general.
Yeah, it doesn't have that element of cocoa that chocolate has. It's the reason I eat it. It's just sort of like a sugary wax to me, you know? I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. I do not like. I like it if it's like a thin layer or something, but like, yeah, I could never eat a chocolate, white chocolate bar or like a white chocolate rabbit.
I wonder if like what like chai candy tastes like. I love chai candy and I love like chai mocha lattes and stuff, but I bet like chai and candy would be delicious.
Yeah.
Dario, you're really nice to do this, so if you happen to see like a chai candy, just like toss that in the cart for me.
Now, see, that's when we start taking it for granted. Now we start putting it in orders, you know.
Dario, and hints like fried up eggs.
Jeez, I wonder what a Butterfinger like is like in Belgium. I guess I'll never know.
I wonder what, you know, pancakes are like in Japan. That they're shaped like Pokemon. Dario, you don't have to do this for us. We are very gracious that you're doing this at all. So, thank you so much. All right, well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me.
You okay
at
over there?
What's that?
You okay over there?
Yeah, that was my little intake of it was. I think I was I worked too much this week, and when I'm at work, this is so stupid, you know, just a little aside of how my brain works or doesn't work. There's a girl that I work with who has a voice very similar to yours, and like I'll be talking to her and stuff, but whenever she asks me a question and I can't remember the actor's name, and it's like back from the old 50s sitcoms, he always used to play the person behind the desk at the store, at the fancy store, and I think it started out maybe in the Jack Benny show, and you know, somebody would be like, oh, clerk, and he'd go, yes. And then they'd ask him a question and he'd go, why, yes! So every question she asked me, I answer like that with a repeatedly more ridiculous yes. And I think I'm still in that mode because I went, to start
like
my sentence off.
It kind of sounded like someone poked you in the butt with a sharp stick because you just went,
yeah. Yeah, it ain't right. You can find me in the land of misfit toys. You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where we're loaded for elephants with an elephant gun of pod filled with podcast buckshot. We're cooking with gas. We're playing with fire. But we didn't start the fire.
I think we're cooking on very low amounts of oil and doing the best we can. This is like trying to cook eggs on a really hot car roof or something.
We're burning the candle on both ends and jumping in and out of the frying pan and then out of the frying pan into the fire. We're not messing around here at twotruefreaks.com.
Elephants with tranquilizer guns? I don't know why that was so funny to me, but it was hilarious. Continue. Well, twotruefreaks.com.
I'm trying to think. We haven't added another podcast since last week. We're slipping. But there is a new Who True Freaks going on. And now that we're like a little behind on our recording, we're a little ahead on like when you hear it. So it's only like a week old now. But looks like Who True Freaks is back in action. And looks like David Walker is really has sort of spearheaded the both post Sean Engel episodes. And it's great, and this one has David Walker. It's got the Irredeemable Shag. It's got Chris Tyler's in it. There's two more people in it that I'm forgetting right off the top of my head. But it's good news. Who True Freaks is back in effect. I know you've got you've got possible plans for one in the future that I'll edit, that I said I would edit, and I'm now saying
I
would
edit. Yeah, I promised that. I just haven't had the chance to.
But it's back on track, so tune into that. And by the time you're listening to this, there should be a new vault. I should be finishing up a vault of startling monster horror tales of terror.
And Dave Walker wasn't tagged as my face in the Facebook page.
He was tagged as what?
He wasn't tagged as my face in the Facebook page.
Oh, Andrew Leyland's in it also. Oh, no, but somebody, one of our listeners and who's been on a bunch of our shows, a listener, Sean Foster, when I originally put the picture up that David Walker made, it tagged Andrew Leyland, or no, it tagged David Walker as Sean Foster. And I had to go back, and I'm like, Sean Foster isn't in this episode, right? And I'm looking, and I'm like, no, there's no picture of Sean Foster there. And I'm like, very strange.
Facebook is
dumb. Well, I'm glad that their facial recognition is not perfect. And you should be, too, seeing your hate of AI. So, and here's something that'll make you feel better, Hope. Elon Musk has said that he is going to... I haven't read into it much, but I've been seeing the headlines that Elon Musk has some plan to keep AI under control.
Yay!
So that will make Hope sleep much better. But where can they find you, Hope? Speaking of Hope.
Speaking of other Two True Freakers, I saw that the Jack and Eddie boys are on Twitter.
Are they?
Yeah. So
for the Back to Wrestling podcast.
I guess so. But I saw that the. I follow both of them on Twitter, and I was like, I found the Jack and Eddie boys, and they're like, we found you! So we had a... So the Jack and Eddie boys are on Twitter. Well, you can find me on Twitter. I run our Twitter account, and it's jguysandjedi.com. jguysandjedi.com. It's at jguysandjedi. You can also find me at Hope Molinax, and our great friend Gene, the podcast machine.
Gene!
He runs our Two True Freaks Twitter account. I'm also the news writer for What the Fangirl. You're going to probably see some 221B stuff come up in the next couple weeks because it's right around the corner and I'm working there as press. So
are we going to see some drunk blogs?
No. No, but that's what my Facebook is for. I'm the news writer for What the Fangirl. I actually just put up a piece that I'm really proud of. I did a 24-hour comic about my life.
I saw that. I didn't know you could draw so well. I should have assumed that you could, knowing your background. But
thanks. I think it looks terrible. Oh, thank you. I think it looks terrible. But the whole point of it is just what it's like being a freelance writer, trying to balance working for What the Fangirl and working a normal job and writing on my novel. So it's just like an insight on my life about how I strictly schedule everything and my anxieties as a writer and what I have to go through and just like a regular day of my life.
And your cat's in it.
And my cat's in it a lot because at the time I did it, my cat was recovering from knee surgery and she was stuck in a little room by herself. But she's much better now. She's free in the house and now she's driving us all mad because she wants to go outside and we won't let her go outside yet. at least she can roam the house. That's where you can find me. Yay! I did it. I'm
looking forward to the next two weeks of shows.
We're going to be getting into one of the characters of Clone Wars that that has so much potential and doesn't do anything. I'll give you a hint. It starts with an S and ends with a Avage. Because Savage Opress is one of those characters. I'm like, you have so much potential of being really awesome. And then Maul shows up and it's like, who's that Savage guy again? Oh, he's the walking lightsaber that doesn't do anything. And I'm just like, ugh, Maul.
For the people who watch Walking Dead, he's sort of like Merle, Daryl's older brother.
Just kind of there. See, that was the thing. I really want him to be like, I'm the younger brother of Darth Maul. I have, like, all this stuff. I have, like, a big shoes to fill and all the shadows to fill, and they never went there. And I'm just like, brr. He's just now a walking lightsaber that grunts all the time. So, but
walking,
I do like next
talking, week's
episode.
Grunting lightsaber.
I do like next week's episode, though, because it's just Asajj beating the shit out of a bunch of guys, and it's fun. It's... So join us next week for
mail bashing.
Nail bashing and punching and people fearing Ventress, and she walks in and she's just like making my way downtown, punching men, ripping their heads off, and it's homebound.
It's Yay. Raining men's body parts.
Do you? This is so off topic, but have you ever heard that like really crappy? I think it was like a mid-2000s song, like "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor." Like
yes.
"Let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor." I saw a post that it's raining men. And Let the Bodies Hit the Floor are the same event, but from different points of views.
They should be mashed up into one song.
That would be awesome!
I wish I had the time to do it to go out on this, but I'm telling you listeners right now, it ain't gonna happen. It would take someone more skilled than me. But if someone wants to make that happen, I would gladly play it on our show.
Huh. Give me 2 seconds, though. Let me see if it's, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, It's Raining Men.
Yeah, the internet's usually really good at spitting stuff up. I don't think it's spitting that out. I think we came up with something there, Hope.
I found it, Chris!
It exists?
Apparently it exists, so I'm gonna listen to it later, but I'll send you a link.
Send me the link to that.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2TrueFreaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2TrueFreaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2TrueFreaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2TrueFreaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2TrueFreaks on Facebook. Just search for 2TrueFreaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2TrueFreaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Children, the lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone. But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.